This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, today is Healing Sunday, and I love ministering on health and healing. Amen? And because, praise God, there's times in our lives. Has anybody ever been attacked with sickness in the house? Amen. And we live in physical bodies. We live in natural bodies. And we will be attacked from time to time with physical ailments. But I'm going to say this. If you learn to walk in faith and you learn about your rights in God, when those attacks come, they will lessen more and more. Do you believe that today? And so I like that. So I'm believing that we're all going into what I call divine health, and that's the highest bar. Amen. And so healing is all through the Bible, and the Bible really has answers to every man's problem. Do you believe that today? The Bible has the answer to your problem today, but you just got to get into the Word of God. You got to allow the Word of God to speak to you. And I'm going to say this, that if you allow the Word of God will reveal truth on how you can come out of any problem in your life. I love that. Now, you know, there was a man named Kenneth Hagin. He was miraculously healed from incurable blood disease and a bad heart because he was born as a premature baby. And he was sick most of his life and got bedfast at age 15. And the doctor said he wouldn't live past 16. But he started praying and asking God for healing. And God told him that healing is in the book. Amen. Healing is in the Bible. And so what Kenneth Hagin did, he started reading his Bible like a starving man eating dinner. And so if you would start taking that Bible and start studying your Bible, you will come out of any problem that you're encountering in this life. Do you believe that today? And so he the keys of healing is in the Bible. The key to prosperity is in the Bible. The key to good relationships is in the Bible. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Amen. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. And so if we get into the Word of God, so the first key to healing and deliverance is to understand it's God's will for you to be healed and for you to be healthy. Now, you know, this church, because I preach a lot on it, we know that it's God's will for us to be healed, but a lot of Christians in the Christian walk don't know that. Sometimes some Christians believe if they're getting attacked, they go with this idea of, well, God's a sovereign God, and whatever comes in my life, God is behind everything that comes into my life because he's sovereign. But that's not really a true statement. Just because things come in our life doesn't mean that God's promoting it. Amen. And so there's things that God does, and there's things that the devil does. And we got to recognize the difference between God and the devil. Amen. So God is not behind sickness, but the devil is behind sickness. The devil is the man's arch enemy. And the devil is behind sickness, poverty, and broken relationships. So you have an enemy. So some may say, well, you know, if I'm going through this problem, maybe it's God behind this problem that I'm going through to teach me something. And that's a big thing that people think about. Well, maybe God's teaching me through this process to perfect me. God doesn't perfect you through sickness. He perfects you through his word. So you're not getting perfected through sickness. You can die through sickness. Get to heaven quicker through sickness. But God's not perfecting you through sickness. Amen? So let's look at a scripture that reveals the difference between God and the devil, and that God is for health and healing and the devil is for sickness and disease. And so in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see here that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do a couple things. Number one, Jesus was anointed to do good. So when you think about that, if Jesus was anointed to do good, if you get sickness on you, is that good? You know, is that something good that comes into your life? No, that's something bad. Jesus came also to heal all those that were oppressed by the devil. So Jesus came to do good and Jesus came to heal. And really, let me just preface this by saying this. Jesus came to heal those that will cooperate with him. Now, that's a good statement right there. Because if you don't cooperate, amen, if you break it down, cooperate, work with God, you may not see healing in your life. And so you got to work with God. Amen. And so Jesus came to do good. He was anointed to do good. And he's anointed to heal those that are oppressed by the evil one. And Jesus came to those who were being, so Jesus came to heal those being oppressed. And really, it's the devil that does the oppressing. God doesn't do the oppressing. And so good comes from God. Evil comes from the devil. So healing and health is a good thing. And that's what we need to be walking in. Sickness and pain and disease comes from an evil devil. And you gotta understand this. And understand this, because some people don't realize that. Some people think it's God's calling in their life to be sick. They have a calling in their life to deal with a sickness in their life. No, you know, some relegate that to Job. Well, wasn't Job called to be sick? No, Job was called to be healed. And you will say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, because Job got healed. And wasn't Job called to walk in poverty? No, he was rich, he got broke, and he got rich again. He was walking in health, he got sick, and he walked in health again. So most scholars believe what Job went through, it wasn't his calling to be sick and broke. I'm going to say this to you today. It's not your calling to be sick and broke. It's your calling to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen. Say, that's my calling. So you got to walk in that calling. Job didn't stay in sickness. He didn't stay in poverty. God doubled what the devil tried to destroy in his life. So if a devil's trying to take something away from you, keep standing in the word of God, and God will double you. Amen. Do you believe that today? And God could quadruple you, because our promises are based on a better covenant, as it says in Hebrews. We have a better covenant. Somebody say, I have a better covenant. And that's good news today. So we need to understand that the devil's job description is to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's in John 10:10. This is another scripture that reveals what God's description is, and what Jesus' description job title is, and what the devil's job title is. In John 10:10, it says the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I like this scripture because Jesus wants us walking in the abundant life. The reason why I named this church Exceed Life Church is based on this scripture that God wants us living the abundant life. Exceed is to go beyond the measure of limit. In other words, God wants us walking out a limitless life. Amen. In other words, we need to be unlimited in our health. We need to be unlimited in our finances. God doesn't want us to have any limitations in this life. Do you believe that today? Somebody say unlimited. I love that. And so the devil here, it says in John 10, his job description is to kill, steal, or to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's what sickness and pain does. It steals our health, it kills our productivity, and it destroys our full potential in God. And Jesus' job description is to give us life and life more abundantly. What is abundant life, you might ask? You might say, what is abundant life? Well, abundant life is really, it was before Adam and Eve sinned, they lived the abundant life. In other words, there was no curse in the world system. Before they sinned, they had a perfect relationship. There was no jealousy, you know, in that relationship. Why? Because there was no other people. Amen. No. But you're going to get jealous if there was no other people out there. Amen. But they had a perfect circumstance and situation. They lived in a perfect atmosphere. Sin wasn't there. And they had incorruptible bodies. Amen. But when sin entered into the world system, corruption entered in. And now we have corruptible bodies. But God is working on our situation, and pretty soon we're going to have incorruptible bodies. Amen. In other words, we're going to be in a better situation than Adam and Eve. Glory to God. Because we're going to have incorruptible bodies. We're going to have bodies like Jesus, the resurrected Lord and Savior. I love that. And so abundant life is like living before the curse came. An abundant life is like how Jesus lived. Now, when you think about Jesus, do you think Jesus was ever sick a day in his life? Have you ever thought about that? You think Jesus needed to say, Peter, I'm not feeling too good today. I need you to pray for me. You think Jesus was asking his disciples to pray for him? No. No, Jesus walked in divine health. He never got sick. Amen? And I love this because it says, number one key, if you're going to walk in the abundant life, you're going to walk in divine health. So divine health is all in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, this is a provision scripture on healing for the human race. And what Jesus did was he bore our sicknesses and pains, and he bore our transgressions and our iniquities. So he bore these things so that we won't have to suffer pain and sickness, and so that our sins can be forgiven. Amen? He paid for our iniquities. He paid for our sins on the cross. And so his blood washes us and makes us right with God. And if we're right with God, we have the blessings of God in our lives. Amen. I'm going to say this to you today. You're right with God. Yes. Why? Not because of how good you are or the good works that you do in this life. Because of the blood of Jesus and because of the goodness of Jesus paying for our sins. I love that. And in that last scripture it says, and by his stripes you are healed. So some would say, well, healing, isn't healing a promise? It's not really a promise. It's a fact in the mind of God. So healing is not a promise you stand on. It's already been delivered 2,000 years ago. We just have to learn to receive it. Amen. So it's not, well, I'm just believing for healing. No, you're walking in healing. You're walking in and receiving healing even as I minister to you today. And so we have abundant life. Abundant life is also not only divine health, but abundant supply. Can somebody say abundant supply? Amen. Jesus never lacked anything when he lived down here on earth. He was provided for during his entire life. I think about this. When Jesus started out, think about this. When Jesus started out in Matthew 2:11, it said that these wise men came and they gave Jesus and the family gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know how much gold that they were given, but I'm sure it was a lot of gold. So what am I saying to you today? Jesus was set up from, and he was, the scholars believe he was 2 years of age. He was set up at 2 years old with a scholarship fund. Amen. He was set up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In other words, God set him up as a wealthy person, glory to God. And then think about this. At his death, you know, Jesus had everything always. He had everything provided for him. Think about the animal that he rode on when he rode in. That animal was never ridden on, that mule or that donkey, and he had possession of it. Remember the upper room. Jesus said, just go to the guy that owns the upper room, and it will be all prepared for the Last Supper. He never lacked anything. And then, of course, Jesus, at his burial, a wealthy man named Joseph provided a tomb for Jesus that nobody ever laid in. So this was a wealthy man in a wealthy tomb. Jesus was taken care of. And I'm going to say this, as long as you walk in God, you can walk in divine health. You can walk in divine supply. You can walk in great relationships, because God wants us having blessed relationships. I like this because Jesus died on the cross for fellowship. In other words, when he was on the cross and he said, it is finished, the Bible says that the veil that kept the Holy of Holies in between the worship area in the temple, it was rent from top to bottom, signifying the glory of God coming out unto humankind. And so when Jesus said it's finished, that means it was God's ability and his pleasure for us to have fellowship with him. I like what it says in John 15:15. This is Jesus speaking. It's in red. It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So this is interesting. Jesus is not just looking, he's not looking for servants. Jesus is looking for friends. So we must understand this, that if we're going through a health issue in our life, Jesus, our friend, is not putting sickness on us. A friend would not put sickness on your body, amen, for some divine purpose or spiritual lesson. So I love this. So there's not one place in the Gospels, and you can study the four Gospels, where Jesus put sickness on anybody in the Gospels. It's not in there. There's many places in the Gospels where Jesus took sickness off of people, but never put sickness on people. Amen. Now let's look at this real account here about how Jesus did it when he was walking down here on earth. And it's in Luke 13:10. It says, now he was teaching, talking about Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Notice her response from her receiving her healing. She glorified God. I'm going to say this. Healthy people love to glorify God. Sometimes when you're sick, you like to gripe and grumble. Sometimes that just comes out of a sick person's life. Griping and grumbling. But healed people like to praise and worship. And I'm going to say this. If you're in a sickness or if you're in some kind of weakness today, start praising and worshiping and watch God bring you out of it. Amen. And it says, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. You know, the Sabbath day was a day of rest. And they had rules on the Sabbath that you couldn't work on the Sabbath. Amen. Does anybody take a Sabbath day out of the week? Amen. You need to do that. Amen. It's a good thing. It's part of the Ten Commandments. But they were trying to say, well, it's work to heal somebody on the Sabbath. Jesus said to them, answered them, you hypocrites, does each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to water it? And so Jesus was upending their hypocrisy. And then he says here in Luke 13:16, this is where I want to get to. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years. Notice what Jesus said here. He didn't say it was God's will for her to be sick in church. He didn't say it was God that bound her up. It says here, who Satan has bound these 18 years. So what am I saying to you today? It's Satan that's doing the binding. It's God that's doing the loosing. Amen. This is powerful. So we see some keys in this story this morning. We see here that one of the keys to her being set free was she was in church. Now you guys are in church today. And I'm going to say this to you and maybe those watching online. If you want to see more miracles in your life, now God can do a miracle outside of church, but he likes to do miracles in church. Get to church. Get to a church service of believers that can stand in agreement. And there's what the Bible calls a corporate anointing. And a corporate anointing is greater than a single anointing. And the corporate anointing can cause healing and miracles to happen in the church service. So it's important that you go to the right church, because the wrong church might pray you to go home early to heaven. Amen. And the right church would pray you into health and victory. You're looking at a pastor that believes that every one of you need to be walking in divine health. You have a pastor that has faith and believes that God wants you healed, whole, sound, delivered, and set free of anything. You have a pastor that believes the Bible. And so you can go to church, but if you go to a church that a pastor doesn't believe some parts of the Bible, it may hinder your faith. Amen. That's why you want to be in church with a pastor that preaches the uncompromised word of God. And hopefully I'm doing that. Amen. And so she was in church, number one. Number two, she stayed faithful, because the Bible says she was 18 years with this affliction. So she stayed faithful in our walk. Sometimes when we're encountering or we've been praying to get set free of some kind of issue that we have in our life and we don't see instant results, sometimes we get discouraged. Does anybody ever get discouraged in the house? You've been praying and you're believing God, and it's 1 month goes by and you're still dealing with the affliction. 2 months go by and you're still dealing with the affliction. And I'm telling you, it can wear on you. It can make you tired. It can make you grow weary and tired because you're believing, but you're not seeing results. But I'm going to say something to you this morning. Prayer may not be enough. Oh, Pastor, are you downing prayer? I'm not downing prayer, but it might be some things that you're doing in prayer that might be keeping the problem in your life. If you keep praying God do something when he has already done something, it's going to keep you in check. Amen. See, God already did something. He paid the price 2,000 years ago. But if you keep praying, God, please heal me, heal me, heal me. Well, he healed you 2,000 years ago, positionally. But then you got to put your faith in the now, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is always in the now and is not pushed out into the future. So if you're praying, God, heal me, but I'm not seeing it, and you keep praying the same prayer over and over again, monotonous, Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me, you're not seeing it because you're not putting your faith in the now. Say, I got to put my faith in the now. So you can't give up. You got to start thanking God that you have it now. And he in Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So this lady was 18 years being her best, coming to church in her affliction for 18 years, and she came that very day and she got her deliverance. She didn't give up. I'm going to say to you, don't give up on God. Don't give up on the Word. Amen. In Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, it says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance or patience, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So here, he's saying here that we don't want to cast away our God. Don't give up on God because you don't see healing when you're first praying. Keep believing God. Keep expecting. Keep walking in God's word. Don't give up. Amen. And if you don't give up and you keep standing, you will see the provision. In Hebrews 6:12, it says, through faith and something else, you inherit the promises. It's through faith and patience. Pastor, do you have to go there this morning? You mean you're telling me I gotta wait? Well, there's a process in receiving the promise. And so you are learning to stand on the Word of God. And in the process of learning to stand on the Word of God, you will get your healing. I'm speaking some faith today, amen? Say, I'm getting my healing. Glory to God. And so God's healing power is greater than the devil's evil power to make you sick. This is a good statement right now. God's healing power is greater than the devil's power to make you sick. God's greater than the devil. And I love this scripture here in Luke 10:19. It says in the King James Version, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. Jesus is saying this, and he said this when he gave the disciples power to heal the sick, cast out devils, to freely give. And they came back and they said, the devils are subject to us in your name. And he said, I give you power. I'm going to say this. Sickness is subject to you in the name of Jesus. You got to believe that. You got to believe sickness has to bow to the name of Jesus. You have power and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that God desires you to be healthy? Do you believe that? And I believe that today. And so there's some steps you need to take. And one of the steps you need to take in believing that God wants you healthy, to walk in divine health, is that you have to respect the Word of God. Somebody say, respect the Word of God. Amen. And what I mean by that is that you can't just read one Bible scripture and think that's going to do it. You're going to have to stay in the Word of God. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in the Word. You got to live in the Word of God. The Bible says, if my Word abides in you, Jesus is speaking. He says, if my Word abides in you and you abide in my Word, you can ask me anything and it shall be granted to you. So what am I saying? The missing element that we may be missing is that we're not abiding in the vine like we need to. You abide in the vine by getting into the Word of God. And so you got to respect the Word of God. And I like what it says in Proverbs 4:20-22. This is how you respect the Word. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. So you respect, you honor God's word by giving attention to his word every day, by inclining your ear to his sayings, by not allowing them to depart from your eyes, keeping them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and the word of God is health to all your flesh. Amen. See, that's one of the keys. So don't disrespect the word. In Mark 6, it says here, let's read it here. It says here in Mark 6, 1 and 6, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath has come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuit teaching. So this is Jesus. He's preaching in his hometown. And there's people that recognize Jesus. They remember him as the carpenter. And he was, and they remembered him as a little boy growing up in that town as a carpenter till age 30. And now he's the preacher, and now he's preaching the word of faith. And now they're discounting who Jesus is. They're taking for granted. And it says here that that what they did was they got offended. And so what is the devil trying to do? To shut down healing in our lives. He's trying to get some of us offended. He's trying to get some of us offended with God. If God's word is true, why am I not healed yet? He's trying to get us offended, get us upset with God. Amen? And then offense will move into unbelief. And he's trying to get us, the devil is trying to breed unbelief or disbelief in us. And if he does that, we're not going to receive what God wants us to receive in his word. And so we got to be very careful about offense, because offense and unbelief keeps the power of God from working in our lives. And it said, the Bible actually said that Jesus wouldn't do any mighty works. The Bible says he could not do any mighty works. So this is telling me that we can limit God in our life. The Bible says that the Israelites limited the Holy One. Why? Because they kept complaining, griping about their circumstances. They limited God. God wanted them into the promised land, but it took 40 years before they came into the promised land. And what? They limited God. Why? Because of their unbelief. You can limit God with unbelief. Some say, no, that's not right. That is right. In other words, God may want somebody saved, but if they don't believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, they're not going to get saved. They're going to have to believe it and take God at his word. Amen? So I love that. So I love this. What was Jesus preaching when he was preaching his healing seminars, when he had his healing meetings? He was preaching out of Isaiah. He was getting the people to realize that he was anointed. In Isaiah, he preached this in Luke 4:18 and 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. I'm going to say this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon each one of us, and the Spirit of the Lord is on his word. And God's word is anointed. And he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. God's word will bring you out of poverty. To send me to heal the broken heart. God's word will heal your broken heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives. God's word will bring liberty to those that are bound up. Recovery, sight to the blind. God's word will open your blind eyes. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. God's word will set those that are oppressed into liberty and freedom. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, this year can be your year. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? So we need to do that. Now, there's things that we need to do. We need to believe that God wants us healed. We want to honor God's word. Amen? And we want to add faith, because faith is the key that will bring healing into our lives. There are four powerful elements that will make faith work and make healing work in your life. You ready for these powerful elements? I know you are. Number one, you're going to have to say it. You're going to have to say something. You're going to have to confess the word of God. Number two, you got to believe it. Number three, you got to act it. And number four, you got to confess it. Amen. Somebody say it. Believe it. Act it. Confess it. These are powerful. These are powerful, powerful elements of faith that will get you going. Faith always activated. Faith is always activated by our words. Amen. In Mark 11:23, it says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he says." Now, this is a powerful scripture. And when Brother Hagin was on the bed of affliction, this was a scripture that got him off the bed of affliction. In other words, the doctor said he was going to die. He was going to make it to past age 16. And even he had preachers that would come to pray the prayer of faith to heal him. And they would pray, "Lord, send him home early." These were preachers that didn't believe in the Bible. But you know what? He got this out of the Bible. Mark 11:22, speak to the mountain. He started speaking to his body. And he started believing that his body would be healed. Number two, key is to believe it or receive it. In Mark 11:24, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So you must believe to receive them and you will have them. You have to believe you have it now. You have it today. Say, "I have it today." And so, and that's what Brother Hagin said, why he was on the bed of affliction, why he was sick on bed. He was his bedfast. His body was half paralyzed. And he said, "God, I really, really believe it." And he said, "I believe it." He was praying to the Lord. And the number three key is to act on it. Are you acting on your faith? And the Holy Spirit spoke to Brother Hagin and said, "If you really believe what you're saying, that you're healed, sick people aren't in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning, unless you're retired." Amen. And so the Holy Spirit said, "If you really believe, you'll try to get up off this bed. If you really believe, you'll bust a move. If you really believe, you step out on the water. If you really believe that God wants you healed, you will do something you can't do. You will try to move that body part that may not be working. It may just be your arm. Just if you can just do this to praise the Lord, just barely do it, and God will do the rest." You got to move. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving in God, because a stationary target is a stationary person is a target for the devil. That's why you got to keep moving. If you keep moving, the devil can't hit a moving target. So you keep moving. Say, I'm going to keep moving. So you got to act on that you're healed. So these are small steps. So Brother Hagin, the Holy Spirit said, "If you're really healed, you'll try to get up." And so he tried, and he put his feet over, and he did he mustered all his strength to get up. And when he did, the power of God hit him and healed him. Amen. Amen. And then you have to confess your healing. Once you're healed, you have to confess it. Amen. Well, here in acting on it, it says in James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." And confessing it, Revelation 12:11, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the death." See, listen, when God sets you free of something, when you are healed, you need to start telling people God healed you. Amen. You need to start enforcing God's blessings in your life. When God gives you a financial blessing, let people know, "God is prospering me. God is blessing me. God takes care of me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack for any good thing. He's a good shepherd. My cup runs over." You got to believe that today. Amen. So we see this, and just to follow up on a Bible story here, it's in Mark. And in Mark, it was a certain woman, another woman that had a problem. One woman was 18 years, bent over. This woman had an issue with a blood issue in her body. Let me just read the account here. It says now in Mark 5, 25 and 34. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around, seeing her who had done this thing. But this woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, this last verse, what he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." This right here, underline this, because I'm going to say this to you this morning. Your faith can make you well. Amen. I'm not talking Jesus' faith. I'm not talking the pastor's faith. I'm not talking the person that knows God, their faith. I'm talking your faith can make you well. Your own faith can make you well. So what did she do? She said something. In Mark 5:28, she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She said something. She was an affirmative. I just need to get to Exceed Life Church. If I get to Exceed Life Church on Sunday morning, I know I will be made well, because the word of faith, of healing, is being preached on the first Sunday of every month. Glory to God. And my healing is coming about in the church service. Hallelujah. Number two, she acted on it. Amen. In Mark 5:27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She acted on her words. What it would have done her no good if she said, "If I could touch his clothes, I would be made well," but didn't get out of the house. She needed to get out of the house. She needed to touch his clothes. She could have reminisced about, "Man, if I could just touch his clothes, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could get to Jesus." But if she never made a move, if she never bust a move to get out of the house, I don't know if Jesus would have showed up at her house. I don't know if Jesus said, "Hey, man, I heard you wanted to touch my clothes here." No, she had to go after it. If you want some healing in your life, you got to go after it. She went after her healing. She acted on it. Glory to God. Number three, she believed it. She received it. In Mark 5:29, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. She believed it and she received it. Even if you get a little bit of pain that leaves your body, start thanking God that you're walking in healing. If you get a little victory, thank God for the little victories. Thank God for the pain that's leaving. Thank God for the little victories he gives you. And then you'll see greater victories. Amen. And number four, she confessed it. In Mark 5:33, it says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And that's where he said, your faith. So that's when Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So I want to say this, that if you get the word of God, you get the word of truth in you, and you allow that word of truth to become real to you, it will build giant faith on the inside of you, and there will be nothing you can't do. Glory to God. So let me summarize this by closing this down. And to summarize what I just ministered today, if you're going to walk in healing and get rid of sickness in your life, number one, you got to respect the Word of God. Number two, you can't allow offense or unbelief to come into your equation. Number three, you must act on faith. And faith is activated by speaking, believing, receiving, and testifying. And when you do these four keys, you will see the blessings of healing in your lives. You believe it today? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that we believe that you are healing us today under your powerful word. And maybe you're here today or you're listening or watching and you need healing. But more than that, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. And that's the first key to receiving the blessings of God in your life. And what's healing without salvation? God can heal you even before you're saved, but getting saved is a better way of going about it. So I want to lead you in a prayer that will get you saved and move you into healing and deliverance in your life. Just say this out loud and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.